Good day, everyone, and welcome to the Cigna Autism Awareness Series conference call. Please note that today's call is being recorded. And now at this time, I'd like to turn the conference over to Kristen Martin. Please go ahead.
Thank you, Kathy. Welcome, and thank you for calling into Cigna's Autism Awareness Series. My name is Kristen Martin, and I'm a care manager for the autism team at Cigna. Due to the format of this call, you will not be able to ask questions during the teleconference. However, at the end of this conference, you will be transferred into a brief five-question survey in which we are requesting your feedback regarding your experience in today's seminar. After this survey, you will be able to ask questions on today's presentation. A handout for today's seminar is available online at www.cigna.com/autism. Scroll to Current Topics section in the middle of your page and click on today's topic labeled Managing Challenging Behaviors. Please note that not all policies cover today's topic. For more specific information, if your policy covers topics discussed in today's seminar, please contact the autism team by calling the number on the back of your insurance card. Today, I have the pleasure of introducing Corey Wickett. Corey is a board-certified behavior analyst and is currently the clinical director for the Leafling Center in California. She has over 14 years of experience working with children diagnosed with developmental disabilities. Her passion is to work with parents and caregivers of children diagnosed with autism. She has taught master's level courses in ABA at the Chicago School of Professional Psychology and currently consults both in homes and in schools with families, teachers, and staff. Corey, thank you for being here today. You are welcome to start your presentation.
Thank you, Kristen. And I thank all of the parents and caregivers for taking the time to listen to this webinar and learn more about your children's behaviors and how to help them. Without your willingness to learn, we would not see the improvements that we see in behaviors. It's up to you to support these procedures. And so I thank you for being here and just learning more. First, I wanted you to think about some behavior, why you're here, listening to this presentation. What challenging behavior do you see with your child that you're having difficulties with? Take a moment, think about it, and we're going to talk about a lot of strategies today of how to help that behavior. But first, I want you to get that behavior in your own mind so we can kind of move forward and you have that idea. Maybe it's hitting. Maybe it's tantruming. Maybe it's yelling, crying, any of these behaviors. These are what we call excess behaviors, behaviors we see too much of. We don't want to see. And so we want to decrease those behaviors. So think about that behavior, and we'll move forward. Okay, so just in general, what I'm going to go over today, first we're going to talk about why your child engages in that behavior. Why does he do what he does? Why does he tantrum? Why does he scream and cry? We're going to talk about the idea of a payoff, okay, and we'll get to that. And then we're going to talk about some good behaviors. We want to teach good behaviors so that your child doesn't engage in those bad behaviors. If he knows how to get what he wants, that payoff, he won't engage in that bad behavior. He'll rather engage in that good behavior. A lot of parents ask, though, okay, I have an idea of a good behavior, but I don't know how to teach it. I don't know how to get my child to do that. So we'll talk about strategies to do that. And then last, we're going to go over what we call reactive strategies. This is how you react when the bad behavior still happens. That's one of the most difficult things to do when your child is engaging in a tantrum, let's say in the grocery store. How do you respond? That's really tough for parents. So we're going to go over all of those reactive strategies as well. And then we're going to open it up, as Kristen said, for questions at the very end. So, again, first, remember that behavior that you thought about. And now let's go over just some general ideas of why. Why does your child do that? Is it because he wants something and he can't have it? What about when you tell her, no, you can't have it? What about when you ask your child to do something he doesn't want to do? What about when you take her toy away? A lot of times this happens. What about when you're talking to someone else? So it may be a significant other or a friend. You're on the phone, and your child starts to scream. Okay, maybe that's the event. Last, what about if the behavior just feels good? What if they do it just because they like to do it? That's another reason that we're going to go over. So just in general, start to think about why. Why is it that your child is doing this behavior? Regardless of the individual reason, every behavior serves a purpose. Okay, this is really important. There's what we call a payoff. Okay, what is a payoff? A payoff is getting what you want. Okay, so let's say your child screams and they get a cookie. You give your child a cookie because he screamed, he wanted it. He got what he wanted. He screamed, he got what he wanted. And that's very normal. And think about it from your perspective as the parent or caregiver. Why do you give your child a cookie? Well, he was screaming. I didn't want him to scream anymore, so I gave him the cookie and he stopped screaming. So it makes sense about why we give these payoffs for the bad behaviors, because it gets rid of the bad behavior immediately. The problem is in the long run, the child learns that that's what gets them that payoff. So now we need to fix that, okay? So no payoff is not getting what you want. So what's the take-home point here? We need to take away that payoff for the bad behavior, and we need to give that payoff for some good behavior. We haven't talked about what those good behaviors are yet, and we're going to get to that. But the important thing is we need to get rid of that payoff, the cookie, for the bad behavior, screaming. Okay? So if you have the slides in front of you, you can see little pictures. But there's a big red X where it says bad behavior and a payoff. We want to get rid of that. And a big green circle for good behavior and payoff. We want to increase that. We want to give that payoff, that cookie, every time your child engages in that good behavior. Now let's take a minute to think about, just to kind of relate it to ourselves. Think about a behavior that a lot of adults want to increase in ourselves. We want to be more healthy. We want to lose weight. We want to go to the gym more. But there's many factors making it so we don't do this. Let's think about one. Well, a lot of times when we sit on the couch, we tend to eat. It's just one of those behaviors that goes with sitting on the couch. We eat. What if we got rid of that payoff, the cookies? When we sit on the couch, we eat cookies. Well, we no longer allow ourselves to eat cookies, to eat popcorn, whatever it is, when we sit on the couch. But rather, we allow ourselves to eat cookies or popcorn or whatever it is if we go to the gym for 30 minutes. What do you think is going to happen? Hopefully, working out for 30 minutes each day is going to increase because we want those cookies, we want that popcorn, and we no longer will get those cookies by just sitting on the couch, let's say for free. We don't get them anymore. Now, that takes a lot of willpower, and a lot of times we need someone else to monitor this for us. We need our significant other to hide the cookies and only give them to us when we work out. Well, we are that person for your child. And so when your child is engaging in this bad behavior, we need to withhold that payoff, just like our significant other needs to withhold that cookie when we're sitting on the couch. Okay, so now let's think more specifically why your child does what she does. So we talked about some general reasons at the beginning in terms of wanting your attention, doing it because it feels good. There are four specific reasons that we as behavior analysts look at when we do assessments for behaviors. We figure out which one of these four reasons is your child doing what he's doing. Okay, so we're going to go over those four reasons next. After we go over those four reasons, we're going to talk about how do we teach a good behavior to fulfill that same reason. Remember, that same payoff. We want to get rid of the payoff for the bad behavior, give that payoff for the good behavior. So how do we teach a good behavior and give the payoff for that good behavior? And then last, we want to make sure, again, as I talked about before, the reactive strategies. We want to make sure there is no payoff for the bad behavior. So that bad behavior may happen. It may continue to happen. So we want to make sure that when it does happen, there's no payoff. Okay. So now let's go into what those four reasons are, okay? So remember your one behavior that you want to work on, the one bad behavior with your child that you want to work on. The four reasons, the first is what we call sensory, and this is just because it feels good. And we're going to go into specifics and examples on the next few slides, but first I want to go over these four reasons, and there's a little acronym we use to remember these. But the first is sensory, it feels good. The second is what we call escape, and this is your child may want to get out of something. They don't want to do something. This is what we call escape. The third is attention. They want your attention. They want you to see them. They want to talk to you. That's what we call attention. And then the four is tangible. Think touch. Something you can touch, a cup, a cookie, something, you know, tangible. This is they want to get something, okay? So the acronym we use is SEAT, S-E-A-T. S, if you look on the next couple of slides, S is for sensory. E is for escape, A is for attention, and T is for tangible. So this is just a little tricky way that we use to remember the four reasons, and we pick one of these when we do assessments based on our observations. So let's go through each one of these in a little more detail to help you out. So sensory, going back to the S, the sensory. So a lot of children with autism, they engage in a lot of what we call sensory behaviors. Flapping their hands, spinning round and round, this feels good to them. They're not doing it to get your attention or to get a cookie. They're doing it because it just feels good. They like the way spinning feels. Jumping up and down, your child may laugh when he jumps up and down over and over and over again. And if you think about it, a lot of these behaviors are very actually typical. I mean, when we're kids, we probably jumped up and down all the time. But as we get older, we learn to control these behaviors in certain environments. So, you know, when they're not socially appropriate, we won't engage in these behaviors. Think about the last one, bouncing your leg or tapping a pencil. These are a lot of sensory behaviors that we as adults engage in. You may right now be engaging in a sensory behavior, biting your nails, tapping your leg, tapping your pen. Again, these, I just want to get you familiar with what sensory is. They may not be excessive bad behaviors that we need to stop or decrease, like your child's behaviors, because we have gotten them under control where they're not socially impeding, so they don't affect our ability to interact with others. Where your child's behaviors may affect your child's ability to go play with other kids because they enjoy flapping their hands a little too much. Okay, so these are all what we call sensory behaviors, the S in SEAT. Okay, let's go on to the E in SEAT, the escape. So a lot of the children we work with, they engage in these behaviors to get out of something. So let's say bedtime. When you tell your child it's time to go to bed, a lot of the children do not like to engage in this bedtime routine. They want to stay up. They want to watch their movie. They want to keep doing the fun stuff they do every day. They don't want to go to bed. And so they may scream and cry when they're told to go to bed. That's escape. They don't want to go to bed. Homework is another normal thing. Dinner time, they want to be done. They're all done, and so they throw their plate, okay? That's escape. What about any instruction you give your child? Does that happen when you tell your child to come here? When you tell your child no, go to the table, pick up your shoes? Any of those instructions, if your child screams or cries or falls to the ground or just doesn't do, those all serve an escape reason, okay? That's why they do it. They don't want to do what you are telling them to do. That's the E in seat. Okay, now let's go on to the A. The A is attention. Let's say when you're at the park, you're talking with a friend, and your child comes up running and hitting you, and mommy, 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 hitting you. That's they want your attention, okay? Does your child aggress and laugh? A lot of times when they laugh, that's for attention. If they're aggressing towards you and they're crying, it may be for something else. They want something else. But here, most of the time, it's for attention. Are they throwing things at you when you're talking to someone else? What about when you're on the phone? This happens a lot. When you're on the phone and your children start screaming in the background, many times this is just for your attention. They don't want you to talk to other people. They want your attention 100% of the time. This is what we would call an attention-seeking behavior. And again, you may be thinking, yes, that's the reason. That's why my child does it. What do I do about it now? We're going to get to that after we get through all of these reasons. We're on the last one. So the last one is tangible. It's the T in seat, S-E-A-T. So the T is tangible. Remember, touch. They want something that they can't have. So a cookie is too far up in the cupboard and they can't reach it. So they start crying and screaming and banging on the bottom cupboards. They want that cookie. Candy in a grocery store. You're going down the aisle, in the candy aisle in the grocery store, and you pass up the candy. They start screaming and crying, falling to the ground. What about when you're at home, you're all out of juice? Oops, I told you you could have juice, but we don't have any more. I forgot. And they start throwing a fit. What about if your child has a sibling and your sibling takes their toy away? This happens quite often. They start screaming and crying and engaging in that tantrum behavior. This is all what we would call the tangible function. They want that item. They want something. Okay. So now think about, okay, you may have identified one of those reasons. Sometimes the behaviors serve many reasons. And if that's the case, Say you ask your child to do homework, they're doing their homework, and they start kicking and screaming and crying, you let them go, and they go play a video game. Well, they could be kicking and screaming and crying because they don't want to be doing their homework. That's escape. But they also want that video game, which would be the tangible reason. So when it serves multiple reasons, we have to think about, which one does it serve the most? Did they want the video game more than doing their homework, or do they really just not like homework that much and they just don't want to do their homework? You have to figure out which one it is. Sometimes it's really difficult to figure out that one reason. So I want to go over just a good strategy to get in the habit of. Write down the entire situation of what happens when that behavior occurs. This is what we call the ABCs, okay? And we're going to go through what's A, what's B, and what's C. So A is what we call the antecedent, okay? So think about the behavior, and then think about what happened before that behavior occurred. What time of the day was it? A lot of times behaviors happen at the same time every day. Did you give your child an instruction? That's part of the antecedent. Did you tell them no? Did you say go to your room? And then the behavior occurred, okay? That's all the antecedent. Did you take something away? Did you drive by a specific park and all of a sudden they started screaming? A lot of times parents will tell me, well, I did nothing and he just started screaming. Something happened in the environment, and that's what you really have to look at. You may have done nothing, but maybe a bird flew by the window. Maybe a TV show came on the TV. So you really need to be aware of what's going on to figure out what that reason is. So we want to write down what that antecedent was. What was going on before the behavior happened, okay? The B is for behavior, the B in the ABCs. So the B is the behavior. Be as specific as possible when you write down the behavior. We don't want to look at what are known as emotions. So we don't want to just say, well, my child's angry or my child is sad, because what's angry to you may be different than what's angry to me, and we won't know how to fix that behavior. So what is your child doing that makes him angry? Seem angry? Is he hitting? Is he banging his head on the floor? Is he kicking? Is he throwing items? What makes him sad? Okay, think about that. What behaviors make him sad? Oh, he's crying. He's crying with tears. Those are the behaviors. So you want to be as specific as possible with the behaviors and leave out those emotional terms, because we can change behaviors associated with those emotions. And then last, the C in the ABCs. C is the consequence. What happens after the behavior happened? Did you tell him no? Did you just walk away and not say anything at all? Did you give him the cookie? And that's very common. Your child screams because he wants a cookie. You give him the cookie. He quiets down. So you keep giving him cookies. Okay, we need to note that. I gave him the cookie. Did you do nothing at all? Did you laugh? Did you tell him, shh, be quiet? All of these things we want to know, because those are what support the behavior. Those are what keep that behavior going. So we need to know what happened after the behavior occurred, okay? So let's look at an example of the ABCs. First, let's look at the behavior. The behavior was, Tom fell to the floor, he banged his hand on the floor, and he cried. Okay, let's look at what happened before the behavior, the antecedent. Well, before Tom fell to the floor, Dad turned off the TV while Tom was watching Sesame Street. Oh, now we know why Tom fell to the floor. What was the consequence? Well, Dad didn't like Tom banging his hand on the floor and crying, so he ran back in and he turned the TV back on, and Tom stopped crying. Okay, so now we have a good picture of what is supporting the behavior, what's happening before and what's happening after the behavior. Okay, now let's have you figure it out. So here's an example. Milton, a preschooler, cries when a teacher is passing out popcorn, and the teacher accidentally skips Milton. The teacher quickly gives Milton some popcorn, and he stops crying. So first, what's the behavior? Milton cries, right? Okay, so what happened before the behavior occurred? Think about it. So the teacher was walking around passing out popcorn, and she skipped Milton. So what's the consequence? Well, the teacher went back and quickly gave him some popcorn, and then he stopped crying. Okay, so if you look at the next slide, there's the answer. So we would call this the tangible, remember, seat for the reasons, S-E-A-T, this is a tangible reason. Milton was trying to communicate that he wanted that popcorn. He wanted access to that tangible, okay, and he got it. So if you remember from the beginning of my talk, we want to get rid of that payoff, right? We want to get rid of that popcorn for him crying, okay, but we'll talk about that later. Okay, another example. Let's figure it out. So Stephen, a three-year-old, hits the teacher and says no when given a puzzle to complete. The teacher removes Stephen from the table and places him in a chair away from the group. So the behavior is that Stephen hit the teacher and said no. What happened before the behavior occurred? He was given a puzzle. The teacher gave him a puzzle to complete. So what happened as the consequence? Well, Stephen was removed from the table, he didn't have to do the puzzle, and he was placed in the chair away from the group. Again, there was a payoff. He got what he wanted. Okay. So we would call that reason escape. Remember the E in seat, S-E-A-T, escape. He wanted to escape doing the puzzle, and he got to escape from doing the puzzle. Okay. So now we've kind of talked about reasons why your child may do what they do. There are four general reasons. Remember, seat, sensory, escape, access, and tangible, or attention, and tangible. Now we want to teach a good behavior to fulfill that same payoff, okay? So what should that good behavior be? Remember, get rid of the payoff for the bad behavior and make sure that payoff happens for a good behavior. Okay, so let's go through each reason, the SEAT, the S-E-A-T, and talk about good behaviors that you can teach for each of those reasons. So let's say your child slaps his hand. Well, the payoff is it feels good to look at. This is a sensory behavior. It feels good. He loves looking at his hands as he flaps them. Well, we want to get rid of that payoff, okay? And we'll talk about how to get rid of that, the reactive strategy. But how do we increase this good behavior? How about flapping a fan? One of those fans that you open up and fan yourself with. That's very appropriate to flap back and forth. Well, we are giving him that same payoff. It feels good to look at that fan. Let's go to the escape function or reason, the E in seat, escape. So let's say your child screams when he's given dinner. So when he screams, mom takes away his dinner. There's that payoff again. He got what he wanted. Well, let's get rid of that payoff. How do we get rid of it? Well, we don't take away the dinner. Rather, we want to take away the dinner when your child engages in a good behavior to escape. Instead, we're going to take away dinner when your child says, I'm all done. Okay? Now let's look at attention, the attention reason. So your child may hit when you're talking to another adult in the park. So you give attention. You say, what, Johnny? He just got that payoff. He got what he wanted. So we want to get rid of that. We don't want to give attention when he hits. Rather, we want to give attention when he engages in the good behavior, maybe saying, excuse me, Mom. Then we're going to say, oh, yes, Johnny, what do you want? And give him all the attention in the world. The last reason, the T, the tangible, something you can touch. Okay? So your child hits and kicks because he wants a cookie that's kept up high. Well, Dad gives him that cookie. Get rid of that payoff. We don't want to give that cookie anymore when he hits and kicks. Instead, we want to give the cookie when he asks for it. He says, cookie please, or just cookie. These are all examples of good behaviors that we want to teach instead of the bad behaviors. How do we actually get your child to do this good behavior? This is tough. We want to help your child. This is what we call prompt. We want to help your child do the good behavior when you know the bad behavior is about to happen. So be proactive. Right before the bad behavior is going to happen, you help him engage in that good behavior. So let's take some examples, okay? So remember the flapping the fan for sensory. Throughout the day, you can bring the fan out and flap it yourself, have fun with it, smile, laugh, and then give it to your child and have them flap it. Maybe physically help them flap it so they see. They may have never flapped a fan before, so they may need help with that. Hopefully, they will find enjoyment in this. If they don't find enjoyment in it, you need to find something else that fulfills that same feeling of flapping hands. And then you help them do it so they start to see, oh, that same feeling I can get from the fan or whatever else it is. Let's say the escape reason, OK? okay, from dinner time. So right before your child is done with dinner, or before he thinks he's done with dinner, so you know your child. You know maybe he only eats 5 bites. Well, at the 4th bite, you're going to help him. You're going to say, okay, Johnny, say, all done. When he says, all done, you say, oh, yay, all done with dinner. You take away dinner, all done for the night. You want him to see what that good behavior leads to. It leads to that same payoff. You may be thinking right now, what if my child doesn't talk? We're going to get to that in a second. The third reason, attention. Okay, so talking to mom, you're talking to another mom at the park, right? And your child comes up and hits you. You're going to, as you see your child running up to you at the park, you're going to stop talking to your friend. You're going to look at your child before they can hit you, and they're going to say, excuse me, mommy. And then they're going to say, excuse me, mommy. And you're going to say, yes, Johnny, what do you want? So you're blocking that bad behavior from occurring. You're helping your child engage in that good behavior, and then you're giving all the attention in the world, what they would have wanted from that bad behavior. Okay, remember that payoff. You're getting rid of that payoff for the bad behavior and making sure the payoff happens for the good behavior. The last reason is tangible, getting the cookie. So they want the cookie. You're no longer going to give the cookie when your child screams. Rather, you go to the kitchen. You walk your child to the kitchen. Oh, do we want a cookie? Your child smiles. Okay, say, cookie, and you give your child a cookie. You can even sit him at the table, put the cookie in front of him. When he reaches for it, block his reach for it, and you model and say, cookie, and have your child say, cookie, and you only give the cookie when he says, cookie. No longer when he hits or screams or cries. Okay. So now, again, you may be asking, what if my child doesn't talk? He can't say cookie. He can't say, excuse me, mommy. This, you know, this is a difficulty with children diagnosed with autism. Their language is not as developed as typically developing peers. So you can accept even just as simple as sound approximation. So saying the C part of cookie, the K. Give them the cookie when they just say K. This is going to help build not only their language, but that relationship between a good behavior and the payoff. What if they can't even do that? They can't even say sound approximation. Well, there's also sign language. There's also picture communication systems where they pick up a picture of a cookie and they give you the picture, and then you give them the actual cookie. I know there were other presentations on Cigna's website on alternative communication systems, and so you may want to refer to those when trying to figure out an appropriate communication system for your child. There are many electronic communication devices. The iPhone has many apps that you can use for communication. Like I said before, there's just the pictures, simple pictures that you can use. So refer to those other presentations or to a behavior analyst that may be helping you on your team or your case for what communication mode would be best for your child. Okay, so now we know that good behavior that we want to teach your child. What about when the bad behavior still happens? We expect that as the good behaviors increase, the bad behavior will go away. But the bad behaviors will actually continue to happen at first. Your child is going to continue to try that old bad habit to get what they want. So how do we make it completely go away? We make sure there's no payoff for that bad behavior. Okay? So when they flap their hands, you remove the payoff for flapping their hands. You block their hand flapping. You don't allow it to happen. You physically stop it. And then you help your child do the good behavior. You give them the fan and make sure they're flapping the fan instead of their hand. What about the escape? Okay, your child is screaming and you take away their dinner. Remember, no longer take away their dinner when they scream. Do not remove that dinner. So you wait for their screaming to stop. This can be very tough. You're going to have a lot of screaming during this time. But you wait for it to stop. Right when it stopped, you help your child say, all done. Communicate, all done, in whatever communication mode that you're using to teach your child, whether it be pictures or vocal communication. Right when they say all done, you take away their dinner. But you do not take away the dinner if screaming is happening, okay? What about for attention? They're hitting you for attention. You can guess it. You don't give that attention anymore when they're hitting you. That's very, very hard. But when they stop hitting you, that's when you help them to say, excuse me, mommy, and then you give them the attention. So you need to stop that payoff, okay? It's going to take a while, and the behavior is going to get worse before it gets better because they're going to wonder why mommy's not paying attention to me, but they're going to hit a peak, and then it's going to get better. So now the last reason is the tangible, the touch. They want that cookie, okay? So when they scream and cry, they hit and kick for that cookie, you do not give the cookie anymore for hitting. When your child is not hitting, you help him ask for the cookie nicely. But you don't help him ask for it when he's still hitting. So this is a mistake that a lot of parents do, is when their child's hitting, they say, oh, no, Johnny, say, I want cookie, and then Johnny says, I want cookie. Well, what he learns is that he hits, and then he's told to say, I want, and then he gets it. You don't want to attend to the hitting at all. Let the hitting happen. Don't give the cookie. Don't help him say, I want cookie. Wait till the hitting is done, and then you help him say, I want cookie. Okay. So this next topic is what happens most of the time. So once you teach your child to communicate, I want cookie, I want your attention, I don't want to do my homework anymore, I don't want dinner, I want to be all done, they ask all the time. And so parents ask, I can't give him that many cookies. Well, this is a good thing. This is great. This means that your child has learned how to ask for things. So now you need to change how often that payoff happens. So the more random the payoff occurs, the more the good behavior will continue to occur. So don't give it every single time now. Instead, give it every other time or every third time. But again, the more random it is, the more the behavior will happen. They won't expect, well, when am I going to get that cookie? So this may seem a little more technical, and this is where you may want to consult with a behavior analyst or someone to figure out, you know, how often I should give this cookie. But just remember, you can not give it every time once they have learned how to ask for it and can do that consistently. So, in summary, we talked about some examples of some bad behaviors that may happen. Hopefully you had some bad behaviors in your mind when we went through this presentation. We learned what a payoff was. We learned some reasons for their bad behaviors. Remember that acronym SEAT, S-E-A-T. And then we learned how to figure out the reason. We go through the ABCs. We write down the ABCs. And then we learned how to teach a good behavior, how to react to that bad behavior when it does happen, and how do we reduce the payoff once the good behaviors happen a lot. So I hope you learned something from this. I'm going to turn it back over to Kathy. And we will open it up for questions in just a minute. I hope you enjoyed this presentation.
Thank you. And ladies and gentlemen, to help us evaluate and improve our program, please complete the following short survey. If you are a Cigna employee, we ask that you please refrain from participating in this survey. After the last question, there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions. Your individual responses will be kept confidential. After I finish reading the entire question and all the possible responses, please answer by pressing the star key followed by the number that corresponds with your choice. If you are using a speakerphone, please make sure your mute function is turned off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. Our first question. This session provided me with education on addressing challenging behaviors in a child with autism. Press star 1 for strongly agree, star 2 for agree, star 3 for disagree, and star 4 for strongly disagree. Please stand by while we allow everyone a chance to respond. Thank you. We'll now go to our second question. This session educated me on reasons for bad behaviors and teaching good behaviors. Please press star 1 for strongly agree, star 2 for agree, star 3 for disagree, and star 4 for strongly disagree. Once again, we'll just pause for a moment. All right, thank you. We'll move on to our third question. Overall, this session met my expectations. Please select one of the following responses. Star 1 for strongly agree, star 2 for agree, star 3 for disagree, and star 4 for strongly disagree. Again, we'll pause briefly. Thank you, and we'll move on to our next question. I would recommend this program to others. Please press star 1 for if you agree, or star 2 if you do not agree. We'll pause for just a moment. All right, we'll go on to our last question for the survey. Please select the response that best describes your role in the life of an individual with autism. Please press star 1 if you are a parent of a child with autism, star 2 if you're a family member of a child with autism, or star 3 for other. We'll pause just one more time. Thank you for your feedback and for participating in our program. If you'd like to make any additional comments to help us improve this program or have any questions on today's topic, please press star 1 on your line now to have it open into the conference. Again, that is star 1 if you'd like to ask a question or have a comment. We'll pause for just a moment. And we'll move on to our first caller. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Hi, I'm a mother of a 10-year-old child with autism, and in following this, I feel like I understood it, except for I still don't understand the part about when they're having a behavior, how to correct it without giving in. So, for example, when he's playing a video game and it's time to shut it off and he has a tantrum with throwing a remote or kicking us or that kind of thing, what do we do at that moment is the part that I struggle with.
Good. Okay. So remember, he's wanting that tangible, right? He wants that video game. And so the most important part or most important thing that you can do is just not give him access to that video game. So he starts to learn those behaviors that he's engaging in is not going to get him what he wants. And so you merely just take away the video controllers, whatever it is that he's trying to gain access to, you take it away. This obviously can be tougher than it sounds. You know, it's not just easy as that. And I help a lot of families with this, and it's really tough, but the most important part is just blocking access to that. Now, if he comes and hits you, you just don't attend to it. You know, don't say, we don't hit, we don't do this, because it's giving more attention to that bad behavior. The most important part is he doesn't get access to the TV. other, you know, and I don't know if he does this, but children may then increase their aggression, and so then they go after the TV, they go after the computer, and they start knocking those things over. So,
No, not that, but the problem is we do take it away, but then for how long? You know, sometimes we're like, okay, you're grounded for a week from it now, or, you know, that kind of thing.
How long do we take it away for? That's a good question. Well, why you took it away in the first place, you know, you want, if you were turning it off because it's bedtime or it's dinner time or whatnot, you just want to follow through with that. So, nope, we're turning it off and we're going to eat dinner. This is an individual child decision, but I would recommend, like you just said, taking it away for a longer period of time than you would have normally if he complied. So let's say he complied. Well, the next time you would have given it to him, he gets access to it. If he didn't comply with turning it off and he aggressed, then he loses access for a day or 2 days. You want to make it meaningful. And so the longer, actually, the better. But, again, that's an individual decision, and you kind of have to look at how intense the behaviors are and go from there. Did that help at all?
Well, yeah, if you just walk up, if you give him a warning, he's usually better. But if you just walk up and shut it off, you've got a major tantrum on your hands because he didn't have to save it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yep, and that's a really good point at knowing for you, you guys may always want to give those warnings, just knowing because, you know, think about you in the situation as well. If you have your coffee and someone all of a sudden comes and takes it away, you're going to be pretty mad. So you may want to give them that warning to let them know, okay, 5 more minutes and we're going to be all done.
Okay, so it sounds like we're doing it right, and the problem is that I have that I don't understand is that he continues the behaviors on any specific, you know, on any given day. It's not consistent. It's just once in a while he'll do it.
So, yeah. So something may be maintaining that behavior when it happens. So when the aggression occurs, something may be maintaining it. So maybe go back and do those ABCs. Write those ABCs down just to figure out. Watch. Maybe someone else is attending to it, you know?
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
And it looks like we did have another question in queue. And again, everyone, that is *1 to ask a question or make a comment. Move on to our next caller. Please go ahead.
Oh, yeah, I just had a quick question. In as far as, like, when one of the issues I have is when I'm talking to somebody, whether it's on the phone or in person, but specifically, like, when I'm on my phone, you said how if they're approaching you, you know, to stop your conversation, turn to them, tell them to say excuse me, and then you go from there. What if you're on the phone, though, and you can't stop the conversation, and all you hear is screaming in the background? You know what I mean? It's very hard to talk on the phone and stop and turn and acknowledge that. You know what I mean?
Yes, absolutely. And this is where it gets a little tough, because sometimes we just have to say no. We just can't give in to that, right? And that, you know, it's going to produce a behavior, a challenging behavior. So we really need to work on outside of that event, outside of the telephone call. We need to work on just your child's skill of waiting for that attention. So you actually need to set up opportunities to work on that skill where you can take time to say, you know, prompt them to say, excuse me, and that whole thing. And so that they learn that. And then eventually, like the end of the presentation that I did, you want to start to fade that out. So when they say, excuse me, you're going to put up your finger and say, wait. And so you're going to start to introduce a wait. And so first build the skill of asking. And then you start teaching wait. So when they do ask consistently, then you're going to teach them to wait and start with wait for literally like 5 or 10 seconds.
Okay.
And because you really want to reinforce that and make that better, that waiting. And then just expect that when you're on the phone, that may happen for a while, that bad behavior, because they haven't learned that skill of waiting yet. So target it at other times when you are able to work on it.
Okay, cool. Thank you.
Okay. You're welcome.
And we'll move on to our next question. Caller, please go ahead. Your line is open.
Hi, my name is Laurie, and how are you today?
Hi, good.
Good. My question is about my son. He is 6 years old, and honestly, I'm pretty blessed and lucky with his level of functioning. One of the things that he does, though, is he likes to make little noises to himself that when I try to quiet him down, shh, don't say that, or be quiet, or be, you know, he'll just keep going, and it's not like little trills with his tongue just to kind of self-stimulate. Even when he's looking at his iPad, he has to make little noises, and I don't know what to replace that with.
Yeah. The sensory behavior is one of the toughest to replace because it's what we call, it's not socially mediated. He doesn't need other people for it, so he could do it at any time he wants and get what he wants out of it. So another strategy that I didn't go over in the presentation, it's a little more complex, but you try to gain control of when he can engage in that and when he can't. And so a lot of times what we do is we have the children wear bracelets, okay? And this is just an example. And so you teach him, like, around the house. When you know the behavior is going to happen, you put on a bracelet, and the bracelet signifies no silly noises. We're not engaging in silly noises right now. And you think of the most powerful reinforcer or thing that he likes. Like, it could be an edible. It can be an M&M, something that he really likes.
Mm-hmm.
And if he doesn't do the silly noises during those 5 seconds that he wears the bracelet, he gets the M&M. And now you start to increase the time of wearing the bracelet with no mm-hmm. silly behaviors. It's going to take a while, but eventually what you want is when you take him to places where those silly behaviors can't happen, you put on the bracelet, and what you're hoping is that bracelet can gain control over those mm-hmm. behaviors, and he starts to learn, when I wear this bracelet, I can't do that. When I'm not wearing a bracelet, I can do that. And so you only use that bracelet, though, for those really important times when you just really don't want him to engage in that behavior.
Like at church.
Exactly, exactly.
Okay.
You're going to have to start slowly, though, at home to build that association between that bracelet and no mm-hmm. silly behaviors. And I get something really, really good out of it.
Okay.
Okay, so try that. Yeah, it may work.
All right, thank you.
You're welcome.
And again, just as a final reminder, that is star 1 if you'd like to ask a question or have a comment. We'll pause for one more moment. It does appear that we have no further questions. I'd like to turn the conference back over to our speakers for any additional or closing remarks.
Thank you so much for attending, and thank you, Corey, for providing such wonderful insights today. Again, if you have questions about therapies discussed today, please contact the autism team by calling the number on the back of your insurance card. Please be sure to mark your calendars to join our next Autism Awareness Seminar next month, August 8th, at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, where we will be discussing using technology to enhance treatment and increase independence. Thank you, and have a great day.
And once again, that does conclude today's conference call. We'd like to thank you again for your participation.